cylinders. She never needed to find herself, because she always knew who was doing the looking. She sniffed. "Something's burning," she said.
"They've got a bonfire, too," said Magrat.
Granny sniffed again. "They're roasting garlic," she said.
"I know. I can't imagine why. They're ripping all the shutters off the windows and burning them in the square and dancing around the fire."
Granny Weatherwax gave Nanny Og a vicious jab with her elbow. "Wake up, you." "I didn't get a wink of sleep all night," said Granny reproachfully, "what with her snoring." Nanny Og raised the covers cautiously.
"It's far too early in the morning for it to be early in the morning," she said.
"Come on," said Granny, "we need your skill with languages." The owner of the inn flapped his arms up and down and ran around in circles. Then he pointed at the castle that towered over the forest. Then he sucked vigorously at his wrist. Then he fell over on his back. And then he looked expectantly at Nanny Og, while behind him the bonfire of garlic and wooden stakes and heavy window shutters burned merrily.
"No," said Nanny after a while. "Still non comprendi, mein Herr."
The man got up and brushed some dust off his leather breeches.
"I think he's saying that someone's dead," said Magrat. "Someone in the castle."
"Well, I must say everyone seems very cheerful about it," said Granny Weatherwax severely. In the sunlight of the new day, the village looked far more cheerful. Everyone kept nodding happily at the witches.
"That's because it was probably the landlord," said Nanny Og. "Bit of a bloodsucker, I think he's saying."
"Ah, that'll be it then." Granny rubbed her hands together and looked approvingly at the breakfast table, which had been dragged out into the sunshine. "Anyway, the food has certainly improved. Pass the bread, Magrat."
"Everyone keeps smiling and waving at us," said Magrat. "And look at all this food."
"That's only to be expected," said Granny with a mouthful. "They've only had us here one night and already they're learning it's lucky to be kind to witches. Now, help me get the lid off this honey."
Under the table, Gribo sat and washed himself. Occasionally he burped. Vampires have risen from the dead, the grave and the crypt, but have never managed it from the cat.
"Dear Jason, and all at number 21, number 34, number 15, number 87 and number 61, but not at number 18 until she gives back the bowl she definitely borrowed, whatever she says. Well, here we are. Cor, what a lark so far. Don't ask me about pumpkins. Still, no harm done. I'm drawing a picture of where we stayed last night. I have put an X on our room where our room is. The weather..."
"What are you doing, Giffer? We're ready to leave."
Nanny Og looked up, her face still creased with the effort of composition.
"I thought it would be nice to send something to our Jason, you know, to stop him worrying. So I done a drawing of this place on a piece of card, and mine hair here will give it to someone going our way. You never know, it might get there."
"Continues fine." Nanny Og sucked the end of her pencil. Not for the first time in the history of the universe, someone for whom communication normally came as effortlessly as a dream was stuck for inspiration when faced with a few lines on the back of a card.
"Well, that about wraps it up for now. We'll write," crossed out, "write again soon, Mum. P.S. The cat is looking very peaky. I think he misses his home."
"Will you come on, Githa? Magrat's getting my broom started for me.
P.P.S. Granny sends her love."
Nanny Og sat back, content in the knowledge of a job well done. Nanny Og sent a number of cards home to her family, not a single one of which got back before she did. This is traditional and happens everywhere in the universe. Magrat reached the end of the town square and stopped to rest. Quite an audience had gathered to see a woman with legs. They were very polite about it. Somehow, that made it worse.
It doesn't fly unless you run really fast," she explained, aware even as she spoke how stupid this sounded, especially if you were listening in a foreign language. I think it's called hump starting."
She took a deep breath, scowled in concentration, and ran forward again. This time, it started. It jolted in her hands. The bristles rustled. She managed to slip it into neutral before it could drag her along the ground. One thing about Granny Weatherwax's broomstick, it was one of the very old-fashioned ones built in the days when broomsticks were built to last and not fall apart with woodworm after 10 years,
was that while it might take some stuff